All right, Charlie.
Miles.
Welcome back to the Bellied Up Podcast,
Miles,
presented by Fleet Farm.
I want to welcome you to the Bellied Up Podcast, Miles. It's so nice to see you.
Today, we're in Castleton, North Dakota.
Yes.
We are at the Red Baron Tavern.
Red Baron Castleton.
Do you think that they named this Castleton?
Lounge. I knew it was not bar. I knew it was something. So
The Red Baron Lounge.
I do feel like I'm in a little bit of a lounge area.
It is a little
loungy
in here.
I'm feeling a little loungy.
Look at this chair. It's got the nice little gold rivets in here. You know, I mean, this is slicker than heck. I like it.
So, today is what? April 20th?
April 20th.
Huh.
Is it the?
Is there something going on today? I swear to God.
Month of the year.
20th day.
Nothing's ringing a bell.
4/20/23. It's Earth Day.
Oh, it's Earth Day.
Oh, wait,
happy Earth Day, everybody.
Today?
No, Earth Day is 4/22, I think.
Oh.
Is it? Earth Day?
There's something that's important
I
this
don't know.
Time, but...
We'll think of it. We'll think of it at some
I don't
point.
Know. It seems that everyone in this lounge seems to be giggling a little bit more today. I don't know what's going on. It seems like good vibes here in the lounge.
Yeah, that is what it seems. Well, we'll get to the bottom of it.
So, Charlie, actually...
Yeah, Miles.
Castleton, North Dakota is where my mom's family's from, and my grandparents still live here, and my mom is my mom's hometown.
Wow, that's so cool. Now, tell me about Castleton. What should I know? What kind of folks here? Did your mom grow up in sort of a wealthy family, middle class? What was the vibe? What's the vibe of Castleton and your mom's upbringing?
Well, it's definitely a farm and rural egg town.
Yeah.
They actually, I think...
Farm God, outside should have told
you. I know if they had a carrot plant here. Might be a sugar beet plant. Now, it's some sort of plant. I don't remember what actual... It okay. does there. I know at some point there was a carrot plant here. I don't know if it still does or not.
Just one carrot plant?
Yeah, just like a solo carrot plant. I think it's on 300 acres is what it has. You want to let carrots breathe.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that I'd love to see that plant.
Yeah, we'll have to go look at it. I mean, it is a lot of snow on the ground, but...
Carrots are hardy vegetables. They can withstand.
Good for your eyes.
Good for your eyes. I mean, you know, if you think about a vegetable that can withstand a Fargo winter, it's going to be good for something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. When is the harvest for carrots? I don't know much about carrot planting.
You know, I can't say that I'm...
Because I don't know if it has to withstand a Fargo winter.
Well, if this place is known for one carrot plant, you would think
yeah, it's true.
You would think that plant would be...
yeah, that is true.
You can't risk losing that plant in the middle of winter, if that's what this place is known for.
So it says you sow carrots from early spring to midsummer to be lifted from late spring to early winter. So it does get a little wintry.
Stored roots will tide you over until the following spring.
What's actually a fascinating fact about Castleton is my grandfather actually helped build the golf course here.
No kidding.
Yeah. So he's a little bit of a landscape architect by passion, not by trade.
Wow. Wait, by passion?
He doesn't do that for a living. He just loves golf. So
your grandpa helped
I mean,
design it?
Yeah, he led the charge. They used to have sand greens here. So back in the day with golf, when you didn't have the ability to like have mowers for like actual green, like actual grass for the greens, they used to just do sand greens that they would tamp down.
Really?
And so they started with sand greens, and then eventually they got regular greens here. But yeah.
Now, I've noticed in a lot of greens, though, the basis for that is sand. Because, right, on a lot of greens, there's sand underneath the grass there.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of most of like golf course stuff, from what I understand, to help keep it level. You know, you got big chunks of dirt, it gets unlevel pretty easily.
Ah, got it. So you
sand
have a nice
helps
sand
level
base.
It better, yeah.
And then those plants, sand is very soluble, gets that water.
Yeah, and if you
build
the green now, there's rock, pea rock underneath it so that it drains through, and there's a whole drainage system that goes underneath it.
Oh,
so.
Wow. And now your grandpa, when he designed this golf course, they just said, hey, can you help us design this golf course? Or did he volunteer
his services? Well, I think he knew a guy with the land, and then he's like, hey, can we build a golf course on this land? I don't know. But I'm guessing that's how it went.
Okay.
All I know is you hit over a big review on one of the tee boxes.
Yeah.
It's right next to the railroad tracks. Like, literally, it's right there, and you got to hit over a ravine. It's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are your grandparents going to be stopping by at some point?
I think they are. I called them this morning, told them when we were going to be here. No idea when they're going to show up. They could show up now. They could show up 3 hours from now. So we're really playing that by ear. So
do you think that in one of these episodes we could kind of interview them, or are they a little camera shy?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to want to do that.
Okay.
To be honest.
Okay, that's fine. They're proud people who prefer to keep to themselves and not get mixed up in our shenanigans.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay,
I'll feel it out.
Feel it out. Yeah. And your grandpa right now, by the way, you mentioned this off air, he's playing cards. What's his card game?
Well, one sec. Ross. Yeah. Where does Ralph play cards at? Plays at the Vets Club.
Oh, he plays at the Vets Club.
Did he play like Pinochle or something? Yeah.
Oh, Pinochle. You know, I've got a confession for you, Miles.
Huh?
I've never played Pinochle.
I don't think I have either. Anytime we get together with he also loves cribbage, so that's
cribbage
usually
I play.
What happens at the family get together. So.
Do you like cribbage yourself?
Yeah, I just
that's I'm, a no. Yeah,
I just am not like a card game guy.
Okay,
I'd much rather just drink and chat than because I get really competitive.
Yeah,
and then it can literally ruin the entire vibes of the room. I'm pissed that I lose. Honestly, it's something I'm working on, but not. Working on it very good. So
I love that you're too competitive to play cribbage with your grandfather.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could do it. I've done it. It's just
not the thing that you're going to go out of your way to
no,
do.
I just would rather keep vibes good.
Right.
You know,
it's knowing your limitations.
It's like, you know, if someone's an alcoholic, they usually try to abstain from drinking alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a spazzy competitive guy, you try and limit how much competition you do, especially not in the right setting.
Yeah. So. You know what I've noticed in...
Hi, my name's Miles, and I... This is competitor spazziness anonymous, and I have a problem.
Yeah. Hi, Miles.
First step is admitting that.
Yeah, it is. And, that is the first step.
I just, you know, I'm competitive. I like sports and all that, but... Sometimes you just don't like to lose, Charlie.
That's true. Sometimes you don't like to lose. I don't really have that spirit. That's why I was never really good at sports like you. I never had NFL prospects like you did, you know?
I'm not going to stop you. I'm going to let you keep going down that road, whether it's true or not.
Yeah, you got recruited by all the teams. I played, but I was never good. I didn't have that killer instinct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you really got to have that.
I haven't.
I was too loosey-goosey, you know? I was like, well...
You're trying to make everyone laugh, right?
I mean, honestly, I was like, this game really doesn't matter. It's kind of stupid when you think about it. Whatever game I was playing, you know, I was like,
yeah,
this is...
Yeah, I have that perspective a little bit now, you know?
Yeah.
Unless someone gets in my face, then it matters more than anything in the world.
Yeah. What game are you most competitive with, would you say?
It's not so much game. It's more so who I'm competing against.
If you and I were playing basketball right now.
Oh, well, I just would beat you. It just wouldn't really be a competition.
In basketball?
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty good at basketball.
I don't think you've seen me move. I got good hips. So it's not so much that you may be a better shot than me, but
yeah.
You're not getting a shot up because I just am that good at defense.
Well, I'm going to box you out. I'm better at rebounds. That was my thing. I was good at rebounds. I was good at getting my ass in and backing that ass up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. It's not a lot of rebounding that you got to do in a one-on-one game, but.
Well, when you're shooting, there is.
Oh, that was good.
Burn.
No, mostly like my brothers are the ones that I get real worked up about, and then also Ryan, the t-shirt guy.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Have you ever gotten in a fist fight with any of them? Your brothers or Ryan, the t-shirt guy?
I mean, if I played one-on-one with my younger brother, it would get pretty lot of just no fouls called type of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd love to see that. Maybe at your wedding. Well, I'll bring a basketball.
Well, my wedding's already happened because it's April 20th. So,
oh yeah, that's right. I forget we go back to the future out, on this podcast.
So regardless, maybe while this podcast is going, we'll remember what April 20th is all about. I just can't
just forget.
Just scratch my head. I don't remember.
Yeah.
We'll find it.
We'll
Why don't we take some callers and we find it? How
that sounds
sound?
Fun. Let's do it.
Hello, who do we got on the line?
Hey, this is Jonah from Texas.
Jonah from Texas. I love that name, Jonah.
I got a little cousin named Jonah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Jonah, are you named after the Jonah in the Bible that got swallowed up by a big old whale?
Oh, I am.
Oh, nice.
Did you ever, as a kid, wish that you were indeed swallowed up by a whale, or did that scare you?
All the time. Wish that would happen.
Okay.
Oh, nice. I hope it happens for you one day. But I hope in a fun way. I hope you don't die. I just hope you go for a nice adventure and find yourself in the belly of the whale. Thanks for calling in, Jonah. It's really nice to have you on the podcast today. Why don't you belly up to the bar with us and let us know what's on the dome?
Okay, so got a little bit of a problem this morning.
Yeah.
Got my wisdom teeth out. On spring break, I'm a teacher.
Okay.
But now they're saying I have to wait 4 days before I can go drinking.
Oh.
St. Patrick's Day is Friday.
This is a conundrum.
Yeah, okay. Questions for you so we could set the stage here. You had your wisdom teeth out this morning, correct?
Yeah.
Did they put you under, or did they just pull them out?
So I thought I was going under, except I never fell asleep. So about an hour into it, I'm laying in the chair, and he's like, yep, we got first one out, and it just keeps going. And I'm like, what the heck is happening?
No, what? Local anesthetic is all you got?
They gave me like some pill. They're like, okay, this should make you sleepy. Never felt sleepy at all. And he just starts pulling the teeth out. And I'm just like, what the heck is this?
Was it painful, or did you not feel the pain?
I mean, you feel a little bit of pain just feeling the tooth come out of your head.
Yeah. Describe to us the feeling of your tooth being yanked out while awake.
So there's this like slight pain / pressure, and it just, he has those little tools and he just yanks it. It's just the weirdest feeling.
And you just feel right the out. Wisdom leaving your body.
Yeah, if there was any in there.
So did you get any clarification on why you didn't go under, or was it that you just assumed and they're like, yeah, well, if we're just going to pull them out, we don't put you under?
Yeah, I think it was just the assuming part.
Well, we know what assuming does, Charlie.
It makes a butt out of you and me. Why didn't you get the nitrous oxide?
I have no clue.
I think you should go back and say, hey, I wanted the full experience. Put them back in and let's do this the right way.
Let's do it the right way. Yeah. Now, were you wearing the sunglasses so he couldn't see if your eyes were closed, or did he know you weren't going fully under?
So it's one of those, I thought it was a fancy dentist office. They have the TV up on the screen, so you're laid back.
Wow.
Just watching TV. And he gave you these little sunshades, so every now and then I'd start laughing at something. So I guess he knew I was awake.
Maybe he did get the nitrous.
I think he might have.
What were you watching on the telly?
Oh, Theo Von's Netflix special.
Oh, he's a funny dude.
He's giggling already just thinking about it. Yeah. I mean,
didn't have YouTube, or I'd be... They didn't have the YouTube up, or I'd be watching your special that was on.
Oh, thank you very much.
Suck up.
Thank you.
Sucking up to you, Charlie.
I know. I'm all for it. Yeah, Charlie Barron's special is now on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Midwest Goodbye. Just put it in the Google machine and give it a like. Even if you didn't like it, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. That's awesome. So,
So what are you going to do with all that extra room in your mouth now?
I haven't really thought about it. Probably, eat more food.
Okay. Put more food. Now, yeah. I've got a question. You waited until spring break to get your teeth pulled. Yeah, you should have done this. This is the perfect excuse to get out of school.
You should have used vacation days.
I thought about it. I'm a teacher, but I'm just like trying to save those for the end of the year.
I get it. Yeah, I forget that when you work a normal job with, you know, that's not a podcast that you do at a bar, vacation days are,
you gotta stack them.
I gotta remember back.
What's your vacation day strategy? Are you, use them all at one time? You try, even if you're really, really sick, you still go to work. What's your strategy on that?
So mostly just sick, go to work. However, this year, March Madness happened to fall on the same week as spring break. So that worked out. Anytime there's like a major sporting event, that's when you take off.
Okay.
So not only can you not drink because of St. Paddy's Day, you can't drink, or not only can you not drink during St. Paddy's Day, it's also the basketball games. You're missing your little beer friends, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You definitely didn't plan this out very good.
No,
you
didn't. And you've got nothing but...
Not at all.
Nothing but Tylenol to satisfy the pain. Is that the case?
Oh, yeah.
So
I have to miss the green beer this year.
Yeah. What time exactly did you have your teeth out? Because this is going to matter here in the future.
We're running numbers for you right now.
Running numbers? It was like 9 a.m. this morning.
Okay, so 9 a.m., 1, 2, 3. Dude, you're good for Saturday. You might have to miss Friday. 9 a.m. Saturday morning, you can wake up, you can crack a beer, and just have at her.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. So there you have it. And we also do have to keep in mind that this podcast is being projected. We are going back to the future to talk about St. Paddy's Day our listeners. Yeah. It's April 20th.
Yes.
Which I forget. Do you know anything that happens on April 20th?
Yeah, we've been trying to. There's something that usually happens on April 20th, but we've been unable to rack our brain. Would you be able to help us with that?
I think I could help y'all with that. Very special day.
Very special day.
You got your wisdom teeth out.
Yep, wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
However, also cannot smoke on that day either after your wisdom teeth come out.
That's true. There's no smoking allowed after the wisdom teeth come out. I remember that when I got my wisdom teeth out.
They said, Charlie...
They said,
don't touch it.
They said, no smoke and also no sucking, right? There's no straws you can use. You can't have any shakes or anything.
Nope.
No.
None of that.
Now, do you have gauze in the back of your mouth and it's all bloody and stuff?
Oh, I did for the first hour and a half. It was miserable.
Yeah, you got to make sure you don't get dry sockets either. That would be a disaster because then you really can't have any fun this weekend if you're not taking care of those holes in your mouth.
Yeah, our best advice is really take care of the holes in your mouth. And also, this is a really unique time. You don't have work. You can't drink. So it's just nothing but you and your thoughts. What are you going to do?
That's too terrifying to think about.
Okay, so you're calling into a podcast. You're doing everything you can to not be alone with your feelings right now, aren't you?
Everything.
Good for you. Good for you.
So, I mean, really, I think you're just going to have to bear Friday with no going out on St. Paddy's Day, but I think you're ready to go 9 a.m. Just as soon as that baby strikes 9, you can go for it. That's the advice you'd give them, right, Charlie?
That is the advice I would give. Yeah, this isn't such a big deal, I don't think. It's just my real question is, what are you going to be doing over the next few days when you've got nothing to distract yourself? I mean,
what's the plan?
What's coming up for you with all this stillness in your life? What's coming up for you? What emotions are there?
I live next to the river, so I'll probably just go fly fishing or something.
A fly fisher.
He's in Texas, right?
Yeah.
God.
What kind of fish do you get out of that river?
Well, they start stocking rainbow trout, but those are starting to die off. So now it's just bass mostly.
The rainbow trout die out down there. Is that how that goes typically? Is it too warm in the water for them? They're very sensitive fish, those trout.
Yeah, we have a good good couple of months of getting them stocked, but as soon as the water temp gets above like 62 degrees, they start to die out.
Yeah,
this might be a dumb question, But why stock something that eventually they will die off that quick? If you know they're going to die from the warm weather, why do you stock that fish in that?
You want me to answer him?
Get as many tourists in as you can.
Yeah, okay. That really is it. You support the local fishing deal. And I don't know much about it down in Texas. We do a little bit of stocking up here in the Midwest, but a lot of those fish will live. But yeah, trout are so finicky with the weather. Those bass, though, those must be super fun to get on a fly rod. I've caught one on a fly rod. I just got into fly fishing, and man, that's a fun way to catch a fish.
Oh yeah, hands down the best way since I started doing it.
Well, you can't put your hands down; you lose the fish. You know, you got to keep it elevated. He forced that laugh. He's like, on that note, I'm out.
This is actually making the whole teeth pulling. This is like talking to us is literally worse than what it was this morning of getting his teeth pulled.
Yeah.
This is worse than pulling teeth for him.
Yes,
he's trying to get off the call, Charlie.
Well, I did it. I took it there.
Every single time you start trying to talk fishing with people, they start to glaze over.
No, Miles, it's not just fishing. It's also bird watching.
That too.
It's also talking about my snowmobile people.
And you're now getting into roasting nuts. That's also going to glaze people over.
Yeah. Oh, I like what you did there with the glaze. Yeah, you can glaze some nuts too. Well, this was super.
Now, Charlie.
Yeah,
Here's a benefit. We're right here on the Guadalupe River. So when you're fly fishing, you also get the aspect of bird watching, especially when the birds start to migrate. So it's a two for one.
Wow. Yeah, you got a twofer there. And you know what? I'm going to throw in a threefer. The thing about fly fishing that's so much fun is the bugs, the flies. You look at the flies that are hatching, Miles, because, you know, it's kind of like match the hatch. So you look for the ones hatching in the river and also the flies buzzing around. You bring your binoculars out and you don't just look for birds. You look at the flies. And there is many species of flies as there are birds. So you have just a whole experience over there. I'm very excited for you.
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely have to make your tour down here. I'm next to Austin, so you'll need to come swing by.
I'd love to come swing by. I'll bring my fly rod. How does that sound?
Sounds great. I know it's kind of local spot, but don't think I should have been talking this much right after surgery.
He's now just bleeding from the mouth. Yeah. All right, don't say anything else. Thanks for calling in. Get some gauze in that mouth. Get some rest. So you can be in tip-top shape this Saturday.
Good for you. March.
Yeah, here we go.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank y'all. Y'all have a good one.
You too now. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I never even thought about that. You probably shouldn't be just jabbering away.
Yeah, you can't be jib-jabbing after you got that. You know, I had an oral surgery myself recently. I had a gum graft put in because one of my gums, I bit into an apple. I have hereditarily low gum line.
Well, those are low.
Well, they're not low now. See, they've been fixed.
Open that up again. Wow. You got some wild teeth on the bottom there.
No, they're good.
That one is low. Holy shit.
No, it's not low anymore. I got it fixed.
Oh, that's not low? What was it like?
They took
your whole jawbone was exposed or what?
They took a graft from the top of my mouth, the roof of my mouth, and they put it right there. And no, now it's healing very nicely. They actually used my gum graft as an example for the students at Marquette University. It was that good of a graft.
Did you disclose? Did you say you could use your name? That's good marketing for your personal brand.
I know. I should get a lot of followers
because they were like, yeah, that'd be great. So like normally in that like situation, they would just make sure that there's no personal information of yours. You're like, no, I want the personal information. Yeah,
could you guys put my handle on this?
Throw at Charlie Barron's on the like a watermark over the over the photo that they show.
I would get so many bored dental students following me.
Hey,
you know,
we could start a dental podcast.
Well, yeah, they need something. They're always
well. So
booking.
Far, this episode we got a dental podcast.
We do.
Yeah,
yeah. We talked about a lot of dental things. Oh, can you pull my arm? Yeah. My upper back hurts
this,
a little. Oh yeah.
Well, we do
good.
This. We're gonna take another caller. What do you think?
I think that's good. Oh yeah. Thank you. That helps.
Hello. Who do we got on the line?
Oh, how's it going, fellas? funny. It's Thomas from Woodstock. I was just actually recently on episode 39.
Thomas from Woodstock. Thanks for calling back, fella.
Will you quickly remind the folks of what we talked about on episode 39?
Yeah, I was going to say it's a little belly update.
Yeah.
But I was the one that called about getting advice for the best man speech.
Okay. All right. And so, you have some follow-up or?
Well, since that time I've typed up, you know, like I wouldn't say don't have a distinct number. I was going to say about 75% of it. I've gotten through most of it, but got to add some finishing touches and stuff to it. But
do you want to give us your intro?
Yeah, let's maybe hear the intro.
I don't know if I can do that, you know, listener coming from the groom.
Well, what day is the wedding? What day is the wedding? Again, we forget.
It is September 15th.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You already have 75% of your shit written?
He's a go-getter, Miles. He's a go-getter.
My wedding is literally
quite the opposite.
Oh, you're not a go-getter.
I'm a master procrastinator. But after that call, I sounded very unprepared and unready for this. I was like, all right, maybe I should start this.
Okay.
That's true. And we weren't giving you much either.
Yeah. So here's the thing, too, is he definitely hasn't started. Yeah. He just has to say 75% of the way done. That's why when we asked him to say some of it, he's like, no, the guy listens. So, I mean,
yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, I mean, I can share the Google Doc with you guys. You can read it on your own time. But
some light reading, maybe.
I'm not going to share this out loud over the air.
Okay, fair enough. Well, belly on up to the bar with us and tell us why you did call in today.
So, I am, as I mentioned in the previous episode, I'm 21, and
but you sound like you're 48.
I never went.
You do sound old.
Well, I mean,
you sound mature.
I'll take it.
Mature.
But I went off to a local community college for, you know, a couple semesters, never finished, and just started working.
Yeah.
And so I never got to leave home, and I'm starting to get a little fed up.
Oh. Yeah, fed up.
I don't know how to, you know, I'm currently like saving money, putting it away. And, you know, I have roughly enough to get 20% down on a house.
Nice.
But it's just, you know, with today's market, it's kind of wild.
Okay. Well, okay. So you're wondering, what should you do? Should you wait? Should you go for it? Is that kind of what you're thinking?
That, yeah, because, and you know, like, what's a solid interest rate, you know, like, if I can get an off, like, you know, start going to houses and they give me an interest rate, you know, I should take this and what's a, you know, don't be stupid.
Wow. Oh, first of all,
glad you called into this podcast for financial advice.
This is the most serious request for advice we ever got. And I got to tell you, Miles is actually pretty well equipped to answer this.
Yeah. I'll let you go first.
In the real estate.
What's up? I dabble a little bit. Charlie, you dabble a little
bit. I dabble
too.
A little bit. Now,
mostly though, Charlie, you got a lot of people around you that help you do that, right?
I do. I have some folks that help me make the right decisions. And because I'll be honest with you, I'm a very emotional buyer, but the good thing is I know that about myself, and so I find people to prevent me from making big mistakes. And that doesn't mean I still haven't made big mistakes, you know. But I think you're good to save your money and that you have 20% down. It's going to be tough for you to get a good interest rate, I'm guessing. What's your credit like?
Okay, so hold on though.
Okay, see, I already screwed it up.
No, you're good.
I already screwed it up.
This is the thing that's been going on though. Is everyone's like, oh, it's a bad interest rate times right now. But let's put some shit in perspective here, all right? Back in the day, I mean, a good interest rate was like 14% back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking a while ago.
80s.
Right? 14% for a house. They were still buying houses. It ended up still being a good decision. They were still able to, if they sold it again, appreciate and make money on it. And now we're spoiled here in 2023. The interest rate goes up to 6% instead of 3%, and everyone starts panicking.
Yeah.
When in reality, the way the world works, it's so easy to refinance later. I wouldn't necessarily wait to buy a home. I would just go at the lowest rate you can find in your area. Then I would live there until the interest rates go back down. And I would refinance, and bada boom, bada bang, all of a sudden, you're investing in your own asset instead of paying rent to someone else who's making money off of you.
And if the place you're buying is big enough, you could even rent out a portion of it to a roommate, or perhaps,
yep,
perhaps, and this is what I did when I first got a place. I bought a duplex and I lived there, and then I had a tenant also live there. So that covered my mortgage. And I was basically, you know, aside for the down payment, I was kind of living there rent free, if you will.
What do you think?
So that's the thing, is I got some buddies that have already asked me if they can live with me. So, you know, making the payments, I don't see that being much of an issue.
Uh-huh.
But I also don't want to, you know, turn this into a frat house.
Okay, second part of his question.
He acts 48, too. He acts 48. You're acting. I'm getting dad vibes. You know, you're a responsible dude for being 21. But I feel like you know yourself and you know what you don't like. And, yeah, you don't want guys coming in and be a big drinking situation, because you know what drunk guys do? They put holes in walls and doors, and then you got to fix them. And then it screws up your relationship with these friends.
Now, one thing I think that has to do with
me not going for college.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't you go for college?
I was supposed to start right when like COVID started, and I didn't feel like paying all that money to go to a university.
Yeah.
And then like do all your classes. School online. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, I never went off, and I think that kind of just killed like the party life. Like, I don't enjoy that stuff anymore.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to talk you through a pros and cons list of living with shitheads. All right.
Oh, I'd love to hear this.
Pro is you can use their dumb stuff as leverage for future stuff, meaning they punch a hole in the wall. You tell them they got to fix it. Plus, they now are on snow duty this winter because they feel bad about punching a hole in the wall. You can then get free labor out of your dumb buddies because they're acting like idiots. And then you can cash in on them being dumb.
Well, and you got to remember that Miles is sort of, this is Miles in his sweet spot. Miles, you should go into where Miles works, and it is, you are the ringleader. You like it. You like being that head honcho. The question for him is, before you give him more of this advice, does he like being the head honcho? Or is
he
like,
sounds super mature. I think he'd be able to handle that.
But some people are like Rex in Toy Story. I don't like confrontation, you know? That's kind of how I am sometimes. And sometimes you just don't want to deal with it. Do you think you'd be able to sort of be that ringleader, or are you trying to avoid confrontation?
See, I'm not much of a, you know, I'm a very mellow guy. I don't look for confrontation, but, you know, I don't avoid it if it's there. But that's something that I have to, you know, get used to, because I personally do not want to buy a house yet until I start my new job, which hopefully will be like towards the end of this year.
Okay.
And that'll definitely help with.
Have you looked at a duplex? Have you looked at a duplex? Because then you have your room and you have their room, and they can get roommates and they can do their thing or whatever. And then whatever is messed up in the house, you just take out their security deposit and it's a non-issue.
I haven't really looked at duplexes around here. I just, you know, I'm trying to move out of the state. And that was actually going to be a little follow-up question, is I know Charlie could answer this. I currently live 25 minutes south of the border, Wisconsin. And I want to move across the border into Wisconsin. Will that still make me a fib?
Yeah, you're a fit for life fella. Yeah. But you know what?
That's a stain you can't wash off.
Yeah, you know, but it's okay. It's okay. You know what? We love fibs. We do. And it's a term of endearment. Okay. So don't worry about that. Where you can't change where you came from, but I do think Wisconsin's a great place for you. Now, do you have any cities mapped out of where you'd like to maybe venture?
So with the ideal situation, I'm trying to get onto a police department, and I have to live within like the bordering counties.
Okay.
So I'll be working in Illinois, but living in Wisconsin. So somewhere like right around the Lake Geneva area, you know, maybe anywhere from like Beloit all the way to Lake Michigan.
Wow, that's a big stretch. That is a big old stretch. Yeah, you know, I'm not super familiar with all that real estate down there, but Racine is nice. Kenosha's nice. Beloit's nice. Honestly, there's a lot of great spots there. It just sort of depends what you're looking for, you know, but there's no shortage of great places to live in that neck of the woods.
You know, he does say that about every part of Wisconsin.
There is not a bad part of Wisconsin. I'll tell you that. Yeah, you can.
I can say that myself. I have not seen anything bad in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well,
besides the slow drivers.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay.
Fib, there it is.
You know, it's like you guys are on Hawaiian time. You're never in a rush.
Listen. That's because in the Midwest, in Wisconsin, we're not trying to get anywhere on time. We're trying to pass the time. Okay. You know, put that on a t-shirt and sell it. Okay.
You know, one thing kind of going back to he's worried about the roommates thing, Charlie, I want to ask you.
Yeah.
If he's looking for roommates, what's maybe a test that he can do to know if they're going to be a good roommate or not?
Oh, a test. I know. Here it is. You invite them over to hang out. Okay, and just kind of talk about the situation. And you put 3 cheese curds on a plate. And you say, I was just having cheese curds. You want any of these? And then, here, try one. You eat one, he eats one. And then you sit there.
Then you wait.
And you
wait.
You have the conversation, and you let it go. And he's going to do one of 3 things. He's either going to take that cheese curd without asking you if you want it first. He's going to not take it at all. He's going to ask you if you want it. And that, or he's just going to eat it. So 4 things. He, depending on what he does, will determine if he should be living with you or not. Now, my question for you is, what would he have to do with that last cheese curd to make you want to live with him?
Oof. You know, if he doesn't, you know, offer it up, as long as he gives me an in-depth review, you know, if it squeaks or not, or if, you know, I got to live with a smart person. He's got to be educated.
Uh-huh.
So, you know.
Well, there's one thing being educated, and there's one thing being educated in cheeses, though. I think, you know, Charlie was educated, but he's not very educated in cheeses, because the only one he knows is cheddar.
No, I also know Pepper Jack, Munster, Gouda, Swiss.
Okay, there we go. Mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
You're reading the back of the menu. You get the different cheeses. Yeah. Burgers.
He's looking at the pizza toppings. Yeah.
Colby. There's a lot of cheeses, dude. Who cares? Cheese is cheese. Bottom line, if he just takes that last cheese curd and doesn't ask you for it at all, you don't want him living there. He's a selfish human being. There, I said it. Okay, problem solved.
There we go. So I think that's the test.
That's the test. And then
I would say buy a home as soon as you can. Do the test on some roommates. Get some roommates in there. And then set some ground rules. Do some non-negotiables. Hey, if you're going to use the restroom and kind of blow it up, make sure you use the upstairs one, not the downstairs one. Stuff like that. Establish a pee corner. You know, it's just make sure that everything is, in place when they move in.
Come in hot with the rules, okay? Have your demands there, but also do not let a friend come in that you want to keep for a long time.
That's true. Do not move in with your best friend. That's a disaster.
Unless you want to end that friendship. Those are sort of the tidbits, but I'd really tell you to get a duplex because that'll give you your space, their space, and then that sucker can pay for itself. Why are you laughing at me?
Because duplexes, like in the areas that he's talking about, there's just not that many duplexes available.
Milwaukee thing?
Well, I just think it's like a more suburban area.
No, there's usually in the cities, there's all duplexes. Is there duplexes in Beloit?
Yeah, it's just harder to get one.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I know nothing about this, honestly. I've screwed up so many financial decisions. I'm not the person to ask. But I think we gave you a good deal with the whole cheese curd test. So I'm feeling good about that personally.
Yeah, well, and then the second thing I had was a buy-sell trade.
Yes, this is what gets me
Welcome
excited in the morning.
Buy-sell trade.
What do you
Come
got?
Come on down.
Actually,
I'm going to go on Craigslist.
Well, that's actually where I planned to sell it if, you know, this doesn't end up working out.
Well, it usually does on this show. We get a lot of stuff sold.
I'm sending you guys a picture through Instagram DMs.
Okay.
Jared will pull it up.
Jared's got it. Yep. Suzuki 2017 Suzuki Boulevard. $12,500 or best offer, Woodstock, Illinois.
Let's hear the pitch.
All right, I'll stop reading.
So
it's a nice looking bike.
When I turned 16, I was able to drive, and I've always been interested in cars. So I was buying and selling cars for quite a while. And
I'm sorry. At 16 years old, you had been buying and selling cars for a while? You are such an old man in such a young person's body. I love it.
You're an old soul, and we're glad
you're
here.
I'm old school.
He's old school.
Yeah. Continue on.
But, you know, over the years, I've picked up some coin doing that, and so now I currently own a car and two motorcycles. Right. And, you know, with wanting to buy a house, I figured it's time to let go of one of them. And I feel like that might be that one there is the best option.
Okay.
All right.
You know, I'm going to need a car, and you know, my other motorcycle's a little too much fun to get rid of.
What's your other motorcycle?
Don't talk about the other one. We're trying to sell this one.
Yeah,
we're trying
to
talk about how much cooler your other motorcycle is.
Yeah.
We don't want it.
Well, you know, it's about for
marketing.
The right price, you can always get rid of both.
Okay, there we go. I like that. All right, it's all about marketing, my guy. It doesn't matter what the price is, whatever. If you can sell this thing the right way, you can get it sold. Talk to me. How sick do you look driving this thing down the main drag?
Well, so the issue I used to run into all the time was my other bike's a crotch rocket, and I ride with a bunch of Harley guys. So
of course
you
do.
They all kind of congregate into their own group, and I'm on my own. So I was like, you know, I got to get a cruiser.
Okay.
And so I bought that bike all the way down near Indianapolis. Drove her home. I'm super comfortable, amazing, super powerful. It's got just under 1,800 cc's.
That's a lot of cc's.
But
I know cc's like I think I do. That's a shitload.
That's is a lot.
You heard of that many cc's, Charlie?
I have a few seconds ago.
Yeah. That's about it. Yeah. Okay. Tons of cc's. What else?
And like I said, super comfortable. But as soon as I got the thing, you know, instead of all these Harley guys getting compliments, all the attention turned to my bike.
Uh-huh.
You know, even the Harley guys started avoiding looking at the other guys' bikes, and that became the conversation piece.
Of how nice your Suzuki was? First of all, I love how you were trying to ingratiate yourself with the Harley guys by getting a Suzuki. You know, I think that.
Well, I always give them a hard time. I tell them, I talk shit about Harleys, and I told them, I was like, well, I can never get one after what I've been saying. So, you know, I had to find a happy medium, get a cruiser that also was not a Harley.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I'd like to roll around town with 1800 CCs under my legs. You know?
Yeah. Well, do you have $12,500?
Well, we're going to see if the open market does first. And okay. Then, you know, I can be convinced maybe after that. But, okay. So you're looking for $12,500 OBO, short for or best offer, mm-hmm. Charlie. We know that.
Yep.
We're a buy, sell, and trade podcast. What, is there anything you can throw in to maybe sweeten the deal for whoever's doing it? You got a cool helmet? You got, what do you got?
Well, I do have a helmet, but you know, it's, I still need it for my other bike because I'm not getting rid of that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, smart. There's not much to sweeten the deal. I mean, it's the only thing I could vouch for it is the thing's almost brand new. It's got 1700 miles.
It's got less miles than CCs.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, all the listeners listening, which is what they're usually doing.
And you're, you know,
go ahead.
For all the people that, you know, like my other bike's modified, but this one I just left bone stock, you know, because when I'm looking for a motorcycle, I don't want other people's, you know, modifications because I don't know what they did to them.
Yeah.
I don't know who installed them, all these other things. So this thing's bone stock. It's never been touched to anybody that, you know, likes that kind of stuff like I do. So.
Well, I like that. Now, we've heard a lot of the mechanics, a lot of the fine details of this, and those are fine for your intellectual motorcycle buyers. But what I want to know is, how do you feel when you're kicking that sucker 70 miles an hour on the highway? How do you feel in your soul? What does it make you feel like?
I mean, nothing beats a motorcycle.
Wait, nothing beats a motorcycle.
Your mind is clear.
Is that it?
Your heart is clear.
It's
just you.
It's therapy. Like
you, the open road. The rattling of the thing beneath your legs. It's just, there is nothing like it because there's nothing going on.
I love that. I love that. That is Miles.
It's,
that was really
like going
beautiful.
Out fishing when you're bored. I mean, it's, you know, it's a mode of therapy. You go by yourself, you go with your buddies. Doesn't matter. It's equally as great of a time.
So you're not just buying a motorcycle. You're buying a therapist.
Exactly.
That's
and maybe a divorce if you're married. But.
Yeah, if I came home with a motorcycle, Anne would not be happy with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you buy them. And, you know, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. So well, you just like come that. Home with it and then eventually they just give up.
All right. Well, how can the folks reach you if they're interested in the old Suzuki?
So I don't know if you guys are able to put that on the like bellied up story or anything on Instagram, but I left my Instagram on the bottom of the picture.
I like that. Yeah, we'll definitely post it. We'll post it on the week this podcast comes out, or should we post it now?
The week that it comes out.
We'll post it.
Probably a little later when it warms up.
That'll be perfect because we're talking timing. Late April, and that is that. Then there's probably only one snowfall left to go in the season, and late April.
Don't
perfect.
Say that.
Well, you get an early May snow. That's pretty typical, you know. So this will be the perfect time. You know, the birds and the bees will start, you know, doing their fornication, and people will just be like, I gotta get a bike, and then they're gonna see that Suzuki, and they're gonna be like, wow, that's a lot of CCs. And then bang, you got a buyer, and we've got a success story here on the Bellied Up podcast.
Yeah.
And Thomas can buy his house.
I will mention that, you know, it may go up in a little bit of mileage because, you know, I may take it out in the spring if it gets nice. You know, I don't think that thing's going to cross the old 2000 mark.
It's because so many people are interested, you got to let them do test drives, right? That's why the mileage is going up.
Yeah, too. Yeah. I mean, I can already hear the calls coming.
Yeah.
Wow. And also, he loves it so much, it's going to be hard for him to part with this. You know, he's, and if it goes over 2,000 miles, I'd almost see that as a positive because it just shows how much he loves the bike, even though he's trying to sell it.
Yeah.
Ah, this is good. I think this will go.
Yeah. I appreciate you calling in again. Glad to have you back on the podcast. And I think we'll get this thing sold.
That would be amazing. You guys, I owe you a big one there.
All right. Sounds good, man. Well, thanks for calling in.
And we'll only take 10%.
Thank you, guys.
No, thank you.
Yeah, we'll take 10%. See you later. You agreed to it. Bye.
All right. Hey, watch out for deer on that motorcycle. I mean that, okay?
Oh, I had a couple friends go down from that. Okay. So, yeah, I always have to.
Call in again. We can talk about that.
All right. You guys said it, not me. I'll have to.
Okay. Sounds good.
Talk to you soon.
Right. You guys have a good one.
You too now.
All right, Charlie, what do you think CC stands for?
CC? You don't know what CC stands for?
No, I know. I want to know if you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, if you just, come on, for the listeners who don't know, because we both clearly know what CC stands for.
The listeners.
I think they know.
They know. Everybody knows.
Jared knows too. I can see that look on his face.
Yeah.
You know, everyone knows that it's
cubic centimeters.
You know,
I mean, of course.
Who doesn't fucking know that? All right. I got to let out some cc's of piss in the bathroom and then we'll be back.
All right. Have fun in there. Shake it more than twice. You know what you're doing.
Charlie, you love the earth.
I love the earth.
Well, guess what? Earth Day is this Saturday. Yeah, it was not today. We mistook. So Earth Day is Saturday. There's nothing better than enjoying the earth. Nothing's better than enjoying the earth with a glass of Tippy Cow. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about just doing one of these? Clanking. Sitting back on the porch and just going, I love this earth.
I love this earth. It's a good earth.
It is. I mean, I don't know a ton about earths, but from what I know about this one, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And very similar vibes with Tippy Cow.
It is. Do you think aliens celebrate Earth Day too?
I don't know if they celebrate Earth Day.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that they would definitely not turn down a glass of Tippy Cow.
No. It's the number one drink of all aliens in the galaxy, in fact. Why?
I have heard that, yeah.
Yeah. Why?
The Wisconsin cow is an absolute delicacy to aliens.
It is, yeah.
So every part of the Wisconsin cow, including the liqueur that comes from it, the rum that comes from it.
Yeah.
Is what they love. So seriously, everything tastes better outside for some reason.
I don't know what kind of cows
and
produce
Earth
the
Day
rum. Do you?
Celebrates animals too, right? Animals live on Earth.
Sure do.
And Tippy Cow's made from all Wisconsin cows. So
this
Earth Day, Charlie, why don't we raise a glass to aliens,
to aliens.
Cows, to Wisconsin cows, and tip it on back with Tippy Cow.
Amen. Folks, Fleet Farm is such a cool place. I go there on a very regular basis to get all my needs met. Yes.
What are your needs, Charlie?
Well, sometimes I need a new little screw for a carburetor. I can't find it, so I unscrew the one on my carburetor that's a little stripped, and then I go over to the Fleet Farm, and I says to the guy, I says, I need a screw looking just like this. He's like, bang, boom, bot.
Bada boom, bada bang.
Bada boom, bada bang, got you covered. And he finds me that little screw. Or sometimes I need a new boat seat. I got my favorite boat seat from the Fleet Farm.
I got one too. I think we bought them together.
We did buy them together. It's one of my favorite memories with you, Miles.
I think we high-fived even.
We did high-five.
Nothing's better than high-fiving at a Fleet Farm, I can tell you that much.
No. So head on over to the Fleet Farm for all your spring shopping needs. And by the way, spring cleaning, they've got some nice tubs there. They do.
Totes. I call them totes.
Totes. I call them tubs because sometimes I take a bath in them. Folks, Fleet Farm's got all the things you need for spring cleaning, for winter cleaning, for fall cleaning, and for summer cleaning. Check them out. Fleet Farm. Find your nearest one and have a heyday. Welcome to the Bellied Up Podcast. Who are we chit-chatting with today?
Hello, this is Mankato Ann calling back in. I don't know if you remember me, but I called probably back in November or something. I don't know. I'm also, you called me a coffee snob, which I'm still trying to get over, but.
You well, know,
you
well.
Being a coffee snob or no?
What's that?
I said, were you being a coffee snob or no?
Well, I don't know. I didn't like gas station coffee, so.
Yeah. So, yes is the answer, you know?
Well.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Why don't you belly on up to the bar with us yet again and tell us what's on your mind?
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to address a little blasphemy that happened in the last episode about Mankato. So, that's where I live. And I heard that we're saying Temecula's by Mankato now.
Yeah, just southwest a little bit, you know, just southwest.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I just wanted to clear that up. Not sure if the locals here will take kindly to that. It's a pretty California-sounding name.
Well, Temecula, you know, I mean, it just trust me. If you go south and you go west, you're going to hit it. It's just down the road
that
away.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good to know.
Well,
I'm glad you guys could inform me.
Yeah. Now belly on up to the bar with us today, and let's really get into it. What is going on with you today? Let's let the past be the past.
Yeah. You're bringing up a lot of the past. Yeah. You got to remember that was when Charlie and I were really drinking heavy.
Yeah. We're goldfish. Know? We're not hanging on to any of this.
Yeah.
You know, if someone called you a coffee snob, we've forgotten it. It's water under the bridge.
I've already forgiven you for getting mad at us. So, yeah. I mean, it's all, yeah.
Oh, I didn't get mad. No. Okay.
It's so all winners.
We're Febreze Brothers. Fresh start. All right.
There we go.
Why don't you belly up to the bar with us and tell us what's on your mind?
I would love to. Okay. So recently, my older sister has said that I am a Karen. And yikes, that was pretty hard to swallow, you know? I'm one of eight.
You're getting it from every angle. You're getting called coffee snob by us and Karen by your sister.
If
one person says that you're a horse, they're crazy. But if 10 people call you a horse, you might as well just get a saddle.
Yeah.
And I think that that's starting to maybe be a little bit of a trend. What do you think?
Oh, well, okay. So can I share the situation that came out of?
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hold on. New game. Okay, new game. Is she a Karen or is she not? Come on down. State your case.
Oh, gosh. I should have never called in about this. I'm just realizing this could just confirm everything. Okay. So,
come on now.
Okay, so I'm ready. Okay, so I'm a cello teacher. I'm a musician and a music therapist. I teach cello, piano, guitar. Anyway, I have this new student that just started in the fall, and he's 5 years old, and he. Like 3 years ago, he started talking to his mom and saying, I play the cello. And she was like, oh my gosh, he wants to play the cello. So he got all excited. And, you know, finally they were like, okay, we think he's actually ready now. He's five, like we're ready to start him. So he started lessons and he's so excited. And when he arrived with his new cello, the shop had fitted him with a bow that was like too big, like two sizes too big. So we're talking like it's double the size it should be. Okay.
I hate when they do that. Yeah. That is when you get a bow that's way too big, it's just the worst.
It's awful. It just happened to me the other week. Terrible.
Okay. Okay, but Charlie, didn't you work at like a shop or something?
I did.
You know what I'm saying? Okay.
I worked with a bowl maker.
And Steve, that's got to make you just your blood boil.
It does make my blood boil. Steve Haas was his name. He's passed away, but he's a great bowl maker. His bows are actually very sought after.
Continue on.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so he's got a quarter-sized cello, right? So it's a tiny cello.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he's got a three-quarter-sized bow, okay? And
what?
This little guy has these tiny little hands. He can barely pull the bow across the string, and he's been waiting 2 years to play the cello, okay? So I was mad, okay? So I go to the store that sold him the cello because I refer all of my students there, okay? Yeah. So they know me. And I'm like, okay, I'm giving you guys a lot of business here. And I said, no, actually, I called them. I maybe should have gone. No, I called them. So I said, you know, can I talk to your manager? Okay, so I know that's what Karen said, but I said it.
Holy shit.
Hey, look,
I think this segment's just writing itself as we do it. I mean, we didn't even trick you into saying that you wanted to talk to the manager. You just said it.
Okay, but there has to be a difference between standing up for somebody and, like, just being rude.
Well, listen, what did you tell the place? What did you say?
I said, I explained the situation, and I just said, you know, first of all, like, he needs the correct size bow.
Sure.
You know, because I said he can't even, like, play his cello correctly. And then I said, they're renting the cello from you. So if you could give him like a month free rental or a discount for a month, like I would appreciate it because he's already been renting. Yeah.
Good for you.
He's been renting for a month and he couldn't even play it for that month because he couldn't pick up the bow and pull it across the string. So yeah.
Now, okay,
I told
question
that
for you.
Story
As
to my
someone
sister,
who doesn't know a lot okay. about the cello, can't the kid just choke up a little bit?
Oh, my God. Well, sure, if you want to ruin his bow hold for the rest of his life.
I wouldn't want to do that. That's good to know. That's bad advice. I don't want to lose his hold.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way, Miles. So the end of the bow is called the frog, and it's like the widest part of the bow. So that's where your thumb, there's like a little notch there. Your thumb goes in the notch. So if you choke up on the bow, then your hand is just on the stick of the bow and you don't really have enough grip to like hold the bow. So it'd actually be harder to hold the bow from
it's
choking
not,
up on the bow.
It's not okay. a
so you have to hold it at the end.
I don't know much about cellos.
Question.
So,
yeah. Well,
it's not it's a good question.
Continue on.
No, well, I mean, they said we're so sorry that happened, and they complied with everything I asked for. They got actually 2 months free rental of the cello, so they went above and beyond. And I was like, okay, thank you so much. And I shared, my student was happier. They got it all fixed. And when I shared the story with my sister, she was like, oh my gosh, Anne, you are such a Karen. And I was like, no, I'm a good teacher.
Okay, you know what?
I think that's what a good teacher would do. I would want my teacher to do that for me.
I am taking your side on this 100% because, they really screwed the pooch. They got him to, there's no way to do that. Although I will say Jimi Hendrix did not have a right-handed guitar. Or did not have a left-handed guitar, so he just strung his guitar the reverse way and learned how to play left-handed. You know, there are some...
Was he five?
I don't know. He's probably a youngin'. I'm just saying that there could... this could you could have let him just figure it out, and then maybe he starts this whole new way of playing cello, and it's revolutionary. Chances of that happening, so small. I think you did the right thing. You bring them a lot of business. You're going to continue to bring them a lot of business. Someone definitely screwed up there. You made it right. And you were defending this 5-year-old kid who has been waiting 2 years to play the cello. And this is the beginning of his musical journey. And you don't want it to be hampered because someone was lazy at work. I think you did the right thing. Miles, agree or disagree?
I would agree you did the right thing as a teacher. I think if I'm your sister, though, it doesn't matter if you just solved world hunger. I'm going to give you crap about it. So it's, it's kudos to your, if it was someone else calling you a Karen, I think you got to be a little more offended. But if it was your sister, that's just her job, is to call you a Karen. Yeah. I would definitely, though, find a way to not say, can I speak to the manager, though? Because that'll give you away right away. So what's an alternative to can I speak to the manager, Charlie, that she can maybe use in future references?
Is there somebody here who actually does their frickin' job? You know, that's a little bit, that's a different way of saying it.
Another way you could go, can I speak to the decision maker at the facility is another good way to do something like that.
This is a way you could
who
say
who wears the pants at this facility? Can I say that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little sexist, but we appreciate that. Yeah. You know, I'm kidding. Yeah, we don't appreciate sexism. That was a joke. But no, you know what you can say is like, hey, listen, I know that this probably has nothing to do with you, and it's probably tough for you to make this decision on your own because you may not have the power to do that. Is it like your boss around, you know, someone I could talk to who could kind of pull the strings here? I just want to explain it to them. You know, you could add a few more words, but getting right to the point, where's your manager, sweetheart? You know, that'll work.
What kind?
I was wondering.
What style of haircut are you sporting these days?
I don't know what you would call it. It's like shoulder length.
Okay, so it's not like a bob or anything like that.
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you have
a bob? I don't know.
Do you have a big drape of hair going over one of your eyes?
No.
Okay, then I think you're good. No. Yeah. I think, you're passing some Karen tests here.
Also, shout out to all the...
I don't have blonde hair, so I think that helps too.
Okay, right.
Don't Karens have blonde hair?
A lot of them do,
A lot of them do. And I also want to shout out all the ladies named Karen out there in our listening audience. You know, just because you're named Karen doesn't mean, you know, you're a Karen, you know, and we feel for you.
Honestly, we feel really bad that you got named Karen and then that whole thing happened.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one final.
I was kind of wondering, like, what if there would be any distinctions between a Midwest Karen and a Karen in other parts of the country?
I'll let Charlie go with this one.
Well, okay. If you're a Midwest Karen, you know, you're going to be complaining about things like your beer being a little too warm, you know?
You're also, after you do your complaining, it's like, you need to get him a different bow. This thing is too big for him. You need to give him another month or a year subscription to this. But also, we'll see you at the potluck on Saturday.
Yeah, a Midwest Karen will follow up the complaint by an invite or an equally long apology, you know? Mm. Like, hey, I'm really sorry to say this, but, you know, this beer was a little too warm.
You know, I'm just sorry. Okay. I just get so worked up about warm beer. I just say, I'm working on it, but, you know, it just isn't right. But, you know, we'll see you on church on Sunday. Okay, see you later.
A Midwest Karen would complain about the warm beer and then also ask if she can help fix your fridge. You know, there's a little helpfulness on the other end of it.
A little more guilt.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. I got one final question for you.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I've never met a child whose dream is to play the cello. What was the series of events that led him to have that dream? Do you know?
Well, to what the mom said, so his older brother plays violin, if I'm not mistaken, and then he has several cousins that play
Gotcha.
Stringed instruments as well.
So he's basically they're playing violin. They're doing this and that. He's like, give me the biggest string instrument that I can find so I can one up all my brothers.
And then he saw the bass and he was like, that's too big.
Too big. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to be cooler. Not that cool. Yeah, exactly. And I think, yeah, he saw them at like recitals and there must have been a cellist playing at the recital. And then he just kind of got it in his head. And I will say, though, like, I don't see a lot of kids saying they want to play the cello, but I see a ton of adults saying, I wish I had learned to play the cello.
Yeah. Are you really seeing that, though?
Oh, Miles, stop it.
That seems a little far-fetched that people are walking around going, damn, I wish I would have learned the cello.
Yeah. Well, they're not. Do you have a vested interest in people wishing they knew how to play the cello? Would you have a business, perhaps, that revolved around?
God, people? you wouldn't believe the people walking down the street complaining about not knowing how to play the cello.
Oh, my God.
They say once you learn how to play the cello, you grow more chest hair. You know, you're more sexy to women and attractive to men. You know,
that's like a Will Ferrell movie. Is that he's like this famous cello player, and women are throwing themselves at him and stuff. You know,
it's like when he plays the jazz flute in Anchorman. Yeah, you know?
Exactly. You got any students that play jazz flute?
Not yet. No,
okay.
I played the jazz cello myself.
Oh, do you? Oh, you don't say.
What does a jazz cello sound like? Can you give me a little? Do you have a cello handy, by the way?
I do. I just gotta get out of the case.
Let's get that sucker out of the case. Let's get it going.
You're a music therapist, right?
I am. Well,
Miles and I are definitely in need of a little therapy today. We'd love to hear.
Sitting at the bar drinking Busch Lights just isn't getting the job done today, therapy-wise. So I think we can maybe add in a little music therapy.
Yeah, we'll just keep talking here while you get that cello out, okay?
Well, her name is Harriet.
Harriet.
Your cello's name is Harriet?
Yeah, she's got some characters, kind of an old soul, you know?
Is that a common thing in the cello world to be naming the instruments?
Oh, yeah. It's a common thing in the music world.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like you name your Ford, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Piece of crap.
So what kind of cello are we working with? What kind of brand is this sucker?
This is a J. Haida 2022. I just got it in November.
Okay.
I upgraded a little bit.
Good for you.
So I'm just getting a little bit. It's super fun, though. Okay, do we need what do you need today if you're needing therapy? Are you are you wanting something upbeat or something soothing? Or
soothing,
I was out there. I was the Minnesota State Fair talent show winner, so I could play you that.
Yes, play us that. Yeah.
Just give me something.
You want that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. What?
Okay.
What can we call this? Because we want to lead you in on it. What's it called?
The song is called Julio.
Julio?
Julio, yeah.
Julio.
Yep. It's like Julie.
With,
and then dash O.
Julio.
Julio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
LL Coolio. Anyways, all right.
Okay. I'd say it's like 2.5 minutes long, so I can do an excerpt if you want or.
Let's start with an excerpt because we might want you to, freelance here later. So let's get a little excerpt of this one.
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of weddings, Miles, so if you don't have a cellist booked yet, you let me know.
Okay. Actually, at the time of recording this, I have a wedding in four to five days, depending on, and we don't have a celloist, so how fast can you get to Fargo, North Dakota?
It takes about 5 hours, I think.
Okay, well, first let me hear you play before I commit to that. Fair?
All right. Let me tune quick.
Yep.
Find it. I'm getting a G. G. I'm getting a C. C. Okay.
It okay? Can you hear it okay? I'm sorry. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
That was so good. Miles was dancing.
I was grittying to your music.
Yeah, right.
No, he was. He was moving.
Did you hear it okay?
We could. It was unfortunately the phone's phonetics didn't pick up every intricate detail, but it sounded like you were doing a little like finger slapping on that.
Were you slapping the bass, maybe?
I was.
I really felt that. That took out like some of the anger just seeped out of my soul when you did that. It felt like you were taking out, and it was so soothing. That was wonderful.
That was really good. All right.
Thanks for listening.
I want you. Okay, here's how we're gonna end this call. Okay, this is the end of this episode.
Yeah, okay.
And this is going to be the outro music to this episode. Okay, so I'm thinking maybe something very Pirates of the Caribbean vibe, but mixed with I want to slam a bunch of beer at a bar. If you could do something like that, that'd be sick.
Okay, I got you.
All right, so you're gonna play and I'm gonna do the outro, and then you just keep playing and we'll let you know when it's all done. How's that sound?
Wait, so I play and then I pause, or I just keep playing?
Just keep playing. It's the outro music.
Okay, I got you.
All right.
Do I go now?
Whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Well, good folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bellied Up Podcast. I am your host, Miles, you betcha guy, here with Charles Barons,
your first mate and happy companion on the Bellied Up cruise.
Yarr! We will see you in the next one, and thou shalt not doth forget hath to pay thy bartender.
Always pay thy bartender for their hard work, and if thou art giving five-year-olds bows for their cellos.
See y'all in the next one. I'm going to go to the next one.